friends, I hope you recognize that theme song because it means that it's time for Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. We're so glad to be part of the broadcast family of this fine station, and we are so glad that you are part of the listening family right there in Madison and North Florida, and not limited just to North Florida, but those of you that listen by computer anywhere in the United States, anywhere in the world where you are connected to the World Wide Web. And we're so glad for you that have come to our website and downloaded recent editions of this broadcast and the teachings that are available there. We're so glad that you are ready with us right now to gather around the Word of God. We have a wonderful subject this week, and we pray that you will take time out of the busyness of your day and the busyness of your life, amen, to go to the Word of God. We're going to be talking in just a few moments about the four wonders of Calvary, supernatural confirmation that this was no ordinary man hanging on this cross, and this was no ordinary death that was taking place on that fateful day a little over 2,000 years ago, where a great sin debt was paid in full, so that whosoever will could call upon the Lord and be saved. And that includes you and me and anyone listening today that's not a Christian. We pray that you will stay tuned for this broadcast. I do earnestly pray that you will not turn the channel, that you will not exempt yourself and say, this doesn't involve me. Oh, friend, this involves you more than anyone else who is listening today. If you don't know Jesus, this broadcast is directed to you, and the Holy Spirit, I am convinced, will speak to you if you will take a little while to listen while we go to the Word of God. Amen. We're going to get right into this message in a moment. If you have your Bibles, prepare to turn to Luke chapter 23 and Matthew chapter 27 in the New Testament. Before we go to this teaching today, let me invite you to come to our website if you would like to. Just type in THCOG, THCOG. That stands for the Holy Church of God right here in Tampa, Florida, where we are celebrating 40 years of ministry in this church, to this city, and now to wherever God sends His Word through our website and through radio ministry. And we're just so grateful to still be on the firing line, as the old camp meeting song used to say. Praise God. We're still telling the old, old story that never grows old of Jesus and His love. Praise God. So if you'd like to come, we'd be glad to have you. Everything is free. There are no strings attached. And you can find out what we believe and what our vision is, where we have been and where we are headed. Praise God. Amen. And we would just, once again, love to have you come and visit our website. And now we're going to the Word of God today. Supernatural confirmation. The four wonders of Calvary. While Christ is dying on the cross for the fallen world and fallen men and women like you and me, God is shouting to the world the power and privilege of His sacrifice. The four supernatural events that surrounded Christ's sacrificial death on the cross signified this is indeed no ordinary man hanging on the cross, and His death no ordinary death. Time, literally, invaded by eternity as heaven actually begins to act upon this earth as it is. God begins to supernaturally move to confirm what is happening. Both the purpose and the person is being confirmed as Jesus is hanging on the cross. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, verse 44 and 45 says, "And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst." I'm going to stop reading right there for a little while as we consider the first great sign that took place. The sun stopped shining. And before we go any further, I want to read Matthew chapter 27, verse 54. We're skipping around a little bit. Please try to stay with us or just jot this down. Now, when the centurion and they which were with him watching Jesus saw, and these things are coming, I'm going to read about them in a moment. They saw the earthquake and those things that were done. They feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Imagine Roman soldiers who participated in the crucifixion are now proclaiming that Jesus is the Son of God. What caused them to acknowledge that? It said when they, the centurion, and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, these wonders that were occurring, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." The sun stopped shining. There was darkness in the middle of the day. Suffice it to say that the sun in the sky was snuffed out for 3 hours while the Son of God became our sin bearer. This first sign tells us that a payment has been made for a great debt that was owed. A payment has been made. Our sin, in order to be forgiven, had to be judged. The terrifying darkness signified that our sins and all the sins of mankind from Adam to the end of the world were being punished in him, that whosoever will may come and drink of the river of life freely. See, God can't look over sin. He's too holy to do that. He had to judge our sin. But how could he judge our sin and still save us from the awful wrath of that judgment? See, the crucifixion is not about what they, the Jews of that day, did to Christ. It's not about what they, the Romans, did to Christ. It's not about what they, the disloyal disciples, did to Christ. It's about you. It's about me. It's about what our sin did to Christ. It's about us. He had taken on himself our sins. It is our punishment he is enduring, so that we could be forgiven. Isaiah 53:5 brings out this great truth. It said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Verse 6 says, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray, and God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." We sing the song based on the Charles Wesley hymn, "Amazing Love, How Can It Be, That Thou, My King, Would Die for Me." One of the verses said, "I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again." Matthew 27, verse 45 and 46 says, "From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land." About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The story is told that when Martin Luther studied this text one day, he just sat and stared at the words for hours. He said nothing and wrote nothing as he silently pondered this anguished expression. Suddenly, he stood up and exclaimed, "God, forsaken by God, how can it be?" Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my King, my Creator, my God, would die for me? Charles Spurgeon also struggled with this cry from the cross when he wrote, "Here you may look as into a vast abyss, and though you strain your eyes and gaze till sight fails you, yet you perceive no bottom. It is measureless, unfathomable, inconceivable. This anguish of the Savior on your behalf and mine is no more to be measured and weighed than the sin which needed it or the love which endured it. We will adore where we cannot comprehend. Ah, friend, my door, my goal today is not for us to comprehend fully everything, but instead to fall on our faces in humble adoration. Allow this shout from the cross to startle and stagger and even surprise you. There are mysteries in this shout from the cross from our Lord that I certainly cannot fully explain. One thing I can declare, He who knew no sin was paying the sin debt so that every sinner on this planet that would come to Him by faith, repent of our sin and accept Him as our Savior, so that we could be legitimately forgiven, that the God who is too holy to look over sin judged our sin in His Son. And that darkness coming upon the earth is significant because it was during that period that Jesus, He that knew no sin, was being judged in our behalf, our sin literally being downloaded onto Him. This cry comes after a 3-hour period of darkness. Jesus was crucified at 9 in the morning and uttered His first sayings somewhere between then and 12 noon. The Bible tells us that from noon until 3 p.m., darkness came over all the land. The final 4 shouts are spoken in quick succession immediately before He dies at 3 in the afternoon. This begins a chain reaction of several cataclysmic events. According to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, verses 51 and 52, it tells us that after the 7th shout, the curtain of the temple was torn in two, the earth shook, and the rocks broke apart, and the tombs broke open. This was a supernatural darkness. Scholars say it was a darkness that you could feel, a terrible, terrifying darkness that shook even battle-hardened soldiers. At high noon, at a time when it was least expected, the world became dark, or as Spurgeon said, it was midnight at midday. 3 hours of light are now followed by 3 hours of silent darkness that you could actually feel. It's as if the light of the world becomes payment for the darkness of depravity. We know this wasn't just a sandstorm because it came over all the land. It also had to be something more than an eclipse because an eclipse doesn't last 3 hours. And this was the Passover when the moon was at its farthest distance from the sun. This was a supernatural event where the Son of God caused the sun in the sky to be extinguished. Our sin debt, friend, was being paid. Man was murdering his Maker. The Lamb was being sacrificed. All of my sin and yours was being downloaded onto Jesus, and He was suffering for our sake. Darkness is almost always connected with the judgment of God for sin. Listen carefully. It was midnight at midday because Jesus became legally guilty of our sin and was therefore judged accordingly, even though He never sinned. The innocent was dying for the guilty. It was during these 180 minutes that Jesus became our sin payment. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21 says, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the most incredible thing to me, that He that knew no sin suffered for those that had sinned, broken God's law, and were worthy of God's judgment, so that we could not just be forgiven of our sin, but we could be given His innocence. God's righteousness. Not that we could just do better and be better, which salvation certainly makes us, but that is not even touching what actually occurred when Jesus died on the cross and made such a salvation available. Think of it. The scholars of Scripture call this the Great Exchange, where He took our filthy robes stained with sin and suffered the punishment for our sin and gave us, now listen to this, gave us His righteous, spotless robe. It's called justification in Scripture. Amen. And that means that it's a forensic term. It means that not only have we been forgiven, we have been granted a standing with God as if we had never sinned. Someone used the term justification to try to put it into real plain, clear language. Just as if I had never sinned. It leaves us righteous before the Lord. It is a gift based on His sacrifice. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus took the full brunt of God's righteous judgment, paying the price by becoming a curse for us, according to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, which says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For as it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Isaiah 53:6, again, I want to read it. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Everything we've done and all the sins that we've ever committed were placed on Jesus. The physical darkness was symbolic of Christ's separation from the Father, who is light. That's why John Stott writes, and I quote, our sins blotted out the sunshine of His Father's face. God the Father turned His back because in His absolute holiness He could not look at the accumulated ugliness of all the world's sins that were piled on His Son. Habakkuk 1 and verse 13 states it this way, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. God's purity demands He turn away from wrongdoing. The scourging, the beating, the crucifixion is what our sin did to Jesus Christ. And it's what Jesus Christ did in order to forgive our sin. During that darkness, it's a mystery, but it is so wonderfully proclaimed that somehow during that darkness, all the sin that you and I committed was placed on Jesus. And all the judgment for that sin was also placed on Jesus. That during that time of intense, excruciating suffering, and not suffering with the grace of God upon Him, the help of God, but because our sin was loaded on Him, He cried from the cross, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which being interpreted is, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? He died our death to give us His life. He took the punishment for our sins to grant us His innocence. This is not just about old sinners forgiven, saved by grace. This is about a holy, heavenly exchange. Who am I, the songwriter wrote, trying to grasp this great truth? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would cry, not my will, thine for? The answer I may never know. Why he ever loved me so that to an old rugged cross he would go. For who am I? I think we run past the crucifixion too fast on Easter and at Holy Communion services. We don't stop to ponder the magnitude of the mercy that was being granted as a result of what was taking place on that cross. We sing that great song some Sundays in our church. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, my friend. I'm living a life right now. I've been in ministry now for 40 years as the pastor of this church and a year pastoring before that. We're celebrating 41 years of ministry, 40 in the same place here in Tampa. And I'm going to tell you something. I have preached Jesus and Him crucified. I have preached 40 Easter services. I've preached 40 resurrection sermons. But I'm going to tell you, I have never got over the cross. And when I feel myself drifting from just being overwhelmed by what He did, I go back and read these accounts again. And I see once again a glimpse of the very glory of the mercy of God. That's why Paul said, I don't just command or demand that you be devoted to the Lord like you should be. He said, I beseech you. By the mercies of God, He's pointing directly at Jesus dying on that cross in our behalf. Our King, our Sovereign, our Savior, God incarnate, God taking on flesh, the second person of the Godhead taking on flesh and leaving the splendor of heaven to step down in to this fallen world, to step up, to die in our place. On that cross. Oh, what mercy, friend. Oh, what glory. Amen. Thank you for the cross. That's what Paul is saying. Thank Him. Live a life that says thank you every day of it for what Jesus has done for you at Calvary. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service or true spiritual worship. And be no more conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. I beseech you, by the mercies of God, give your everything, give your all to Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. A little girl, after a Good Friday message, that message about Jesus on the cross, prayed. And this was her prayer. Her mother overheard it. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross. And thank you, Jesus, that we didn't have to watch. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that we didn't have to watch. There are vivid films out. One of them was The Passion of the Christ, where it vividly portrays the scourging and the crucifixion of Jesus. I want to tell you something. There is nothing on celluloid. There is nothing in a picture or a painting that can any way fully portray the suffering of Jesus at Calvary. The Bible gives us glimpses of what it would be like. The Old Testament prophesies of that event, that His visage was marred more than any man's. The Bible said of Him that they plowed my back and they made their furrows long. The Bible said of Him that He said, my bones stare out of my body, prophetic of the suffering of Christ. My bones stare out of my body. And that cat of nine tails, that nine braided pieces of leather with either metal or shards of pottery on the end of it, it wrapped around Him. When they yanked it back, it tore flesh from His rib cage, and literally tore enough flesh from His rib cage that His bones were exposed. Hence the fulfillment, my bones stare out of my body. The dehydration on that cross, the pain, the agony, my tongue cleaves to the roof of my mouth. Every time He spoke, when He said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do, He said it in agony. He said it while slowly being asphyxiated. He said it in such pain and agony, and yet He said it because of such love for you and such love for me. Father, forgive them while gasping for breath. Father, forgive them while hurting with such pain. Oh, what a Savior, the songwriter said. Oh, hallelujah. We should never get over salvation. We should never get over what Jesus did at the cross. It should cause us to love Him intensely for loving us that much. Friend of mine, if you're not a Christian today, it should cause your heart to melt and cause you to lay hold on this wonderful gift of forgiveness and righteousness and eternal life. He paid such a price. The cross literally screams to you and me, God loves you. How much? Enough to give us as a sacrifice lamb to take our place. Not just a baby to lie in a manger, but a man to die on the cross in our behalf. That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And today, this very day, you can trust Christ as your Savior. That darkness meant God turned His back so that He could smile upon you and smile upon me who have sinned so greatly against Him. The just, friend, the Scripture said, was suffering for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, that He might reconcile us, suspended between heaven and earth. You know, Jesus said it prophetic of Himself and the death that He would die. If I be lifted up from the earth. This is not what we do in our praise service while we worship Him, although we do lift Him up. But He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, He's talking about be suspended between heaven and earth on that old rugged cross. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And this is the message of Christ and Him crucified that can melt the hardest heart if we will let it sink in. If we will let that light and that glory and this love shine in the dark place, in that darkened life, darkened by sin. Oh, friend of mine, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, today, this very day, that light can shine into your life. This love can flow into your life. This forgiveness can be obtained today. And the darkness that covers your soul can become illuminated. And the light will drive it out. And Satan's prison house of darkness, the chains will break. The doors will come open and you can go free. Free from condemnation, free from guilt, free from shame. And God will embrace you. He will give you a robe of righteousness, His very own righteousness, because He has taken your sin and mine. You got to repent. You got to receive Him. But if you do, the great exchange will occur today. Ah, pray right where you are, right now. If you're driving, watch and pray. But pray. Call upon Him that gave His Son for you, and call upon Jesus who died in your place. God promised to forgive you, receive you, love you, secure you. Amen. We love you today. If you're a Christian, stand up. Stand up, ye soldiers of the cross. Hallelujah. Love Him and serve Him with everything you are and everything you have, for surely He's coming soon. We love you today. Would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus. Amen.